state which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
Can I have that mouse for the computer over here? I'm kind of can't. It's hard to scroll without a mouse.
No. Why do you need a mouse?
I don't even have a keyboard. I mean, I just have to look on the screen at what you have.
Yeah, and you can see it. You're lucky that you can see it. I'm not giving you a mouse and a keyboard. What do you need those for?
Look, man, we've had like 7 good weeks in a row. I just think I should be treated with a little more respect around here. I don't know, man. I'm just asking for a fucking mouse.
I think you said it best when you said 7 good weeks in a row. And how is this going to help the situation, Dave? What do you need? What are you going to do? That am I going to see some turtle porn when you do your McConnell impression? Is that what's going to happen?
Turtle porn.
Yeah. Is that what I'm going to see when I'm?
You might see turtle porn. That's
if
just
you have a keyboard and mouse. This is going to be the stuff that I'm going to have to look at.
Turtle porn is just me naked. That's all that is. Man, I don't want to fight.
You're embarrassing. You're embarrassing me in front of our first guest ever.
What?
Yes. FDR's wheelchair has its first guest ever.
Yes.
He's from Ukraine. He lived in Poland, U.S. and Maine, then back to Germany, and then back to the U.S. and Massachusetts, and then to Cincinnati, where we're doing this podcast from. Did I get that right? And this is my neighbor, Anatoly.
Almost right there.
Almost right.
Yeah. Anatoly,
since we know each other,
yeah. This whole show. Almost right. You almost got there.
Anatoly, can I ask you a question to confirm something that Brandon said?
Yes.
Did you live both in the U.S. and Maine?
Well, it seems like it, yeah. Both of them kind of would be in the same category, yeah.
I'm just checking.
This is why you're not getting keyword.
He passes the civics test. Check mark.
So you've lived quite a few places, man. Like, did you piss Putin off or something?
Well, more like he pissed me off, right?
I think it's a foreshadowing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why you didn't come in here with the shirt off on the horseback. Come on, man.
That's right.
Yeah, and if you need to give any like secret messages back to Ukraine and stuff against Putin and stuff, you can totally use this podcast because we need the listeners, basically.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if I can do it yet. You know, I'm not a citizen yet, so kind of scary. You never know.
Well, if it's
coming, yeah, elections.
Yeah. And 2 wins, right?
That's right.
So
maybe the first one and the last one podcast, by the way.
We had a neighbor. I don't know where he went.
I have no idea.
So I want to formally introduce you. You're Anatoly. I cannot pronounce your last name, so if you...
That's okay. Anatoly Krichkevich.
Yep.
Anatoly Crispy Cabbage.
That's right.
Yep.
Well done.
The best kind. Very cool.
So we invited you on because we're going to do something a little different with our podcast. Mm-hmm. Usually we do this week's events, but we're gonna go abroad.
Yes.
I keep calling it the Ukraine.
But
you know what? That's actually historically accurate.
It is.
They actually recently dropped the... from the Ukraine. So when you say the Ukraine, you're actually saying it's, let me get this right, Anatoly, the borderland?
Sure. Yes.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Yes. Almost correct.
I was actually going over my head today whether it's Ukraine or the Ukraine, and I couldn't decide. I didn't want to be insensitive
so,
to our guest.
What I learned was the recent calling of Ukraine is Ukraine, but it used to be called
the
Ukraine.
Ukraine. Yeah. Well, you know, with Ukraine, our government, you know, they change and they have very bright ideas. It's same when my name was spelling 2 years ago, I had I had L-I-Y in my last name, in the first name. My government changed it to, you know, now you're going to spell it L-I-I. And so I can understand why they went from there, Ukraine, to Ukraine. They might come back to there. You never know.
So they changed your name?
Correct. They did change my name. I had to redo all my paperwork. It's just like, well, we
fucking Americans can't even wear a mask.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
So
just imagine they tried to change her name. Ziegler, there's now 2 G's.
That's right.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking fascist.
So I can see the you know, the following of the Ukraine, or maybe Ukraine, which one more proper. We always had that, you know, dilemma.
Mostly correct. It's mostly correct.
Exactly. That's why I always say almost, because you never know.
So what we want to do is we want to actually talk about Ukraine and its political strifes and its ongoing war that's still occurring right now. And we want to kind of mirror that and how the U.S. kind of reflects to that. So I think we as Americans definitely get it wrong when we look mm-hmm. at the Ukraine. I think we definitely see it as Putin trying to land grab and being, you know, this imperialist trying to raise the USSR. But it's actually, as I found out, way more complicated than that.
Yeah, and you don't even want to go there.
Yes, yes.
You gave Americans a lot of credit there that they even have heard of Ukraine.
That is true. That
you know, our true. Civic knowledge abroad is sometimes a little...
It's true. Ukraine's capital is Kiev. It has a daily rainfall of 2 inches.
That's what
I know. My book report.
Ukraine is gray. That's all I know. It's very gray.
Yeah, it's a... Reminds me of the story when you guys said that I was used to work on the boats. So I worked with a lot of Vietnamese, Taiwanese, right? And, you know, one time I asked, like, hey, do you know where Ukraine is? He's like, well, of course I know, it's South Africa. I'm like, that's, so yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's
But I've researched a little bit, and Ukraine has a very, very storied past. It's very much embedded in European culture. I mean, it is kind of at the forefront. It's like in the middle of everything.
It's kind of like in the crossroads. It's kind of like what Spain is to, you know, Africa and Europe. It's kind of the crossroads of Eastern and Western Europe. I mean, literally in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. And it's it was once known as the breadbasket of the USSR.
That is correct. Yeah.
And Attila the Hun actually invaded it and used some of that grain. Because when Attila the Hun came, he had such a reputation that he came to Kiev and they just went, Rome's that way.
Right, exactly. Just a little further that way.
That's right.
Much sunnier over there. You want that place.
Yeah, that's right.
So watch out for those of the Huns coming.
Yeah, so this is really when they, you know, when they kind of started. So to understand Ukraine, it's very a lot of history, as we were not really independent. We were always part of someone, right? And then that little group created in the steppes, what we called, right? That, you know, land of no one, what they call it back in the days. And that group, the people were escaping all those different rulers, and they kind of grew and decided, hey, we might gonna make our state, if you will, you know, for the country. So,
I wanted to start off with asking you, because I don't know anybody that could come remotely close to this, and I know any American pretty much wouldn't know the idea of this. But how was it with the fall of the USSR? How did that change your perspective, your perspective on your government, your new rising nation, and your view of the West?
So, well, with the fall of the USSR, wasn't as that quick, right? With the changes and what happened there, we separated in 91, right? Officially was 1991, you know, we become independent, right? But we still had so much to agree on how it's going to work out with the economy, how the relationship going to continue with the Russia and so on and so on. So technically, all the agreements, everything was kind of finalized in 96.
Right? Okay.
It's kind of officially, politically correct, right, on that part.
On paper.
Yeah, that's right. And the my perception was, you know, I was still the kid. So everything was good. Everything was really, really good, you know, when the Soviet Union fell down, right? There was no immediate significance. But when the year two... You know, when we changed the money from the, you know, from the Russian or SSR to our own, you know, that's the economic went down. And then, you know, we lost quite a bit of economy if it comes to, you know, we supply the Soviet Union, right, all the republics. And that started affecting, the Soviet Union was on the downhill anyways before even we separated, right? and that effect starting, you know, right before the separation when other parts of the countries separated, right? And, you know, our economy went down, right? So when you're talking about the basket of the Europe, right, and
right.
so on, the exports slowed down, right, because everybody separated, everybody had the different connection to different areas, right? We definitely suffer in some of the economics with Russia, but we become even more dependent of Russia. So that's kind of effects starting on that. So when I grew up, my parents already start losing the jobs.
Okay.
You know, like my father and my mom was working what they used to call the kolgosps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had like a farm that belonged to government, pretty much, right? And after, you know, the end of the Soviet Union, and collapse of the Soviet Union, a lot of things start to, you know, privatized, right? So people were allowed to, you know, go and kind of, you know, open up the business or, you know, work for themselves because most of it was, you know, government. Like you had
the,
it
almost sounds like sharecropping in the 1800s
right.
in the U.S.
Yeah.
Sounds almost exactly like it. Didn't work.
And there's a reason for that, right?
Right. And,
so,
I forgot to ask you, how old are you?
I'm 32 now.
You're 32.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm 32 now. So for me, effects were not that much. And when I started growing up, I noticed how my family with, you know, X status started going down. So that's, you know, kind of the indication of how the political it went.
I'm just yelling at Dave. Sorry, he's trying to open
a
bottle of Diet Coke right in front of the fucking microphone.
Slowly.
Yeah, just leave the lid off if you want to drink it. Honey.
Jesus Christ, man. God damn. Where's my pen?
No, you don't get it.
Say pen.
Nope.
Oh, it's right there. Hold on.
I thought you were joking about it.
Now I can deal with your ass. Jesus. We're learning something for the first time on FDR's wheelchair. Our listeners are actually getting educated. And you're yelling at me over a goddamn pop bottle.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, I made it whistle on the microphone. Don't cut that shit out. We're about to fight.
So the economy went down, right? If you took to get kind of keep it short, kind of overall, you know, not to get the details, the economy started falling down, and there was a reason for that, right? So changing the currency, you know, less. Export and so on, the biggest thing where I think affected it was the nuclear power, right?
Okay.
Because we had a lot of nuclear heads, right? And during the Soviet Union, Ukraine was treated like, you know, kind of half of that. So part of that negotiation was okay. That was the major kind of thing, because if Ukraine would kept that nuclear warhead, I think, you know, the whole what we know now. It would be completely different, right?
Mm-hmm.
My personal, of course, opinion. But so the treaty was that, you know, we give that back to Russia, right? And we give them back some to Russia, and we, you know, kind of disassemble some of it, right? Kind of the nuke on that part. So that was the big of it, and that's when the trouble starts.
Yeah,
that's really when the trouble starts after that agreement, because until
and again, what around time this? What year is this about?
We're talking, I think, right after Soviet Union, right? So 91, like I said, in 96,
everything was finalized.
Right? So everything finalized, and that was part of all the agreements. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
It was if Ukraine gave back the nuclear weapons to Russia, Russia would promise its sovereignty.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
That's correct. Yeah. That's right. That's research. Yeah.
We'll take her stuff, and then you can be free.
Yeah. So that's kind of the choice that our first president had to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our second, after that, you know, start declining, and finally we got the first time to vote, or second time to vote, right? So we choose who people wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Kuchma, what they called it, and I don't know, in the U.S. doesn't have, there's no much like a saying, but we have in Ukraine saying that, you know, when you have, let's say, you, Brandon, and Bethany have a child, and you're going to become the godfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we have a saying about that, you know, in Ukraine. And what it means that they always help, right? Very corrupted, so take care of the people right around you. So Kuchma was very corrupted, take care of the people of that, right? Mm-hmm. So we call that, it's not the cousin, but, you know, that kind of saying on that. So, you know, and he obviously started to taking care of, you know, his close circle, if I can mm-hmm. say. And it was kind of perfect that time, right? We're talking about already 90s, right? In the 2000s, right? Coming to that. So a lot of privatization, a lot of people that can do open and work for themselves, right? Uh-huh. So that was kind of prime time for really corruption to happen, okay. Right? That's part of it. And that was also the prime time when, you know, what we call the Russian map or organized crime.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Russian mafia.
Yeah, so they actually literally...
Yeah, you seem... Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm tied with those guys.
I'm tied with the Russian mafia.
I will the money.
They definitely play a lot of role in all of that as well, right? Because kind of affects from there, that part. And he was in the office for 8 years, right? So he couldn't go on a third term, right? So,
right.
He kind of took his predecessor. And who was predecessor? That was the Yanukovych.
Right? Okay.
So he wants Yanukovych to be his and on that part, right? Kind of recommendation on that part, which is, you know...
It's this Weird Al Yankovic.
That's right.
Yankovic.
Yeah. Which that kind of creates the, you know, create the issue. So then we had the election, and that's when the kind of it's become, you know, more...
And that was the Orange Revolution, right?
Correct. Orange Revolution was in 2004.
Okay.
Right, so when the Kuchma was leaving his office, right, so that was the thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing with Yanukovych, he came from east part of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is very industrial, right?
Okay.
That's when you had...
Industrial, pro-Russian.
Yep, yeah, coal, mm-hmm. pro-Russian, everything. He was part of the criminal organization, right, back in the days, you know, in that 90s, right? But and that's how the criminals started moving to the... You know, to the
gotcha.
Power as well, and so he came from that part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So of course everybody in the West freaked out because we are pro-European,
right?
And
yeah.
that kind of thing. So that's kind of how it started. So like, no election, we're not gonna do. That's why, you know, and that's when the Yanukovych was going against Yushchenko.
It's kind of interesting because during that time period too, there were a lot of accusations of voter fraud, mm-hmm. right? Do you see any parallels between some of the voter fraud accusations you see in the United States today and some of those accusations back in 2004? Or are they kind of dissimilar?
Well, you know, here in U.S., I think it's a little bit more hidden, if I may say, right?
Okay.
It's more to dig into it, right? So, you know, you really have to follow and you have to do this and that. And in Ukraine, it was just, you know, you bring 10-year-old kid and he will tell you like, yes, yeah, something is not right, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So that's how it
mom
was.
Voted four times.
Mom right. voted.
Or, you know, they're asking question like, so did you vote for your, you know, government today? He's like, yeah I did. And they're like, so what part of the, you know Democrats or Republicans?
Mm-hmm.
Like Democrats. And they like, and then they're saying, well, actually, buddy, today is president election. So, you know, is it Yanukovych or Lukashenko? I don't know, but I signed it and I left, right? So it's just that kind of crazy stuff. People didn't know what they're voting for.
Right. It was,
and
yeah.
It just, yeah. So that's how easy there. Here we're kind of hiding with the computers or hacks or this
yeah.
or that. Or especially with upcoming election, it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting. So.
Yeah, you can't mail it in.
No.
Apparently.
Can't apparently.
Yeah. So, with the ballots, I'm kind of skeptical about it,
mm-hmm.
personally, because I just saw how it's always in Ukraine like that, so I'm not sure how.
Can a past experience?
Yeah.
It's certainly an unprecedented time, I think, in the U.S., and I was talking to Brandon before he came over today. It's like, I feel like a lot of times in America, we just have this fulfilling sense of American exceptionality. Not just that, you know, oh, we're the greatest country in the world, whether
yeah.
you believe that or not, but this idea that bad things can't happen to us. For example, like the virus, you know, we thought that because we're America, the virus isn't going to hit as hard as
mm-hmm.
the rest of the world. And then it does, and then we go into this area of denial, you know, deniable plausibility. And it just kind of seems to go up against logic. And then also with like the whole voter fraud thing, we just assume that it's going to be okay, that it's going to work itself out because our Constitution fixes all the problems. That's but right. We just don't know now, you know. I mean, the data still says that voter fraud is, you know, a minimal problem in the United States.
Well, I think it's one of those things that it's safe to assume until it's not.
It is true. And, I mean, you have to take consideration U.S. politics change as well. You know,
right.
It's definitely changing over the last, four, 8 years, so that's something to consider as well.
But yeah, it's been a little, really changed a lot.
But this year, it's very tough.
What year was your first year in the United States?
I came here in 2004.
Okay, 2004. Gotcha. Yeah,
2004, my first time to get here. So during the Orange Revolution, pretty much.
Gotcha. Okay. That helps.
Definitely running from Putin.
Running from Putin.
That's right.
You can never run from Putin. He's so sexy.
I know you have a calendar in your classroom.
My Putin/Graham calendar.
That's right.
It's called I Do Declare 2020.
Stop it, Vlad. All right, so we covered a little bit of... I've been trying to get out of you a little bit. The perception that the Ukraine, I see I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
Ukraine, to the West, to like your European, the European Union, how you saw them, and how you saw the U.S., like how you saw it during the Soviet era and then afterwards.
So the... Sorry, I need to get closer.
That's one mistake.
I got too much relaxed. That don't get you relaxed.
If you get to three mistakes, you got to go the fuck home. And we're not going to drive you home. You have to go home on your own.
That's right. The whole few feet.
Right.
Across
the driveway.
That's right. Oh, my Lord. So the perception, I'm definitely was influenced... from the West, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up on the West part of Ukraine, and a lot of people go to Poland to make, to work there because
mm-hmm.
better money and stuff. So definitely they start bringing a little bit more from that part, right? And the views, not only the views, but also, the goods.
Because when we think of a Western party, it's Poland!
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's right there.
Wacky Warsaw!
Absolutely, that's what I feel.
So, majority of people, that's what the Orange Revolution really, started, right? Because
Okay.
Because Yushchenko was pro anti-corruption, getting close into Europe, getting better relationship with the U.S., because when I grew up, U.S. was something like magical, right?
Right.
It was always, in my perception, magical. I had little Jeep, Wrangler.
No way.
Oh, yeah. The toy. I would play in the freaking sand and stuff with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had Ronald Reagan driving it.
That's right. Giving
Gorbachev a noogie. Like, I'll put that on your head, motherfucker.
Hulk Hogan was in the passenger seat.
Right.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. Well... better than the Volga that we have in Russia or Ukraine.
I can make it up there.
We had Yugos for a while over here. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Skodas, where are they made? They're Czech Republic, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's something you ate with your coffee in the morning.
It might be.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
that was the perception, right? So, everybody wanted to go there. Everybody knew it's freedom. Yeah, U.S. was as a freedom fighter, everything on that part. So that's really the perception was when I was growing up. Everybody wanted there, right? And what was your second question?
I totally forgot.
Good,
I do.
It was like a two-party question. So, the perception. You had the European Union and the U.S., so I think you kind of already entered that.
Yeah, so that's...
It's a magical place.
Yeah, that wasn't that.
Then you got here.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
Welcome to Magic US, Land.
U.S. was higher than Europe.
Maybe that would be kind of like the Jim Baker's Heritage USA amusement park.
I'm just trying to get my citizen, okay?
Well, guess what? We have bad news for you. You're guilty by association.
Oh, my Lord.
I love the U.S.
America is great. Make America great again.
Can we send it to Trump or Trump and Biden at the same time? This podcast so they can... Yeah.
I love the government. Yeah, the wrong podcast, buddy.
That's right.
your skin tone is just light enough to pass Trump's scrutiny test, so you're good.
You'll be fine. You might want to shave a little bit.
That mustache looks like Mexican, right?
Put down the taco.
I was thinking Middle Eastern terrorist, but what the fuck.
All the same to him. Caravan.
Oh man, stereotypes! Oh
aren't
Lord,
they, aren't they funny? Funny? They make us seem like we're funnier than we really are. Let me get that trope.
we're against stereotypes here on FDR's Wheelchair.
Absolutely.
Would you like a vodka or some borscht?
Ooh, both, please.
So,
mixed together.
That's right. Well, no, it's like a Ukrainian punch, right?
Ukrainian punch. Comes with its own pack of cigarettes. Try to swallow. You don't normally have this trouble when you're swallowing.
Oh shit. Ukrainian punch. That's like the worst thing imaginable.
Actual punch.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Oh, the punch of despair. Yeah.
Get your own potato field.
How we doing here, guys? Good? Fun? You're doing exactly what you want us to do, what we want you to do, and give us a really like good firsthand account of life in Ukraine and your experiences here in the United States, and we're ruining it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I had another question is kind of about the USSR again. When the USSR fell, or when it started collapsing, how did it change your lives, or were you just like, okay?
I always grew up in a small community, so you know, kind of village, you know, a small town, so didn't affect us as much, right? So we had our land, right? What actually people were happy because all those kolkhozes that was mentioning to you, that farm that owned by government, couldn't pay people money. They were not paying them for the last, you know, 7, 8 months and so on before all that collapsed, right? So they pretty much, you know, give you land. You know, it still was kind of government, right? But they give you land, like, hey, you work for yourself, right? You don't have to pay the properties, nothing like that, you know. So wherever you grow, it's yours. This is your land. But when we come in and say, we want it back, then we'll take it back, right?
Okay.
On that part. And that was the beginnings. But people were happy. They don't have to go and work on a kolkhoz and that kind of deal and had this little field, so... and it became bad because they start paying with the land or anything that they had, really. So there was no physical money at that time. So it didn't affect us much. We were happy growing. It affected my sister in the city. You know, the jobs, you know, start being less jobs, right? Vodka become cheaper and cheaper. So that's kind of how it's all started, right?
Right.
And... effect was definitely on my, you know, when my father worked for the government and he, you know, so he, not like a government, Ukraine government, but for the kolkhoz, so he always had money, you know, this and that, and when that all became down, so, you know, some private company, but, you know, took it over, it didn't work out, and they let it go, so definitely affect us, there was no job anymore. Because the Soviet Union, like my grandparents, they loved it.
They did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they loved it. If you would say something bad about Soviet Union, they would kill you.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh,
yeah. They were loving it because they had everything
at that
particular time.
Everything was...
But yeah, so that was the effect on the jobs, right? It was hard to get the jobs, and you had to go through the cousin to the cousin and pay someone money to get you to, you know, to do anything. So it was definitely on that, yeah.
Ticker jobs.
That's right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So that's how the, you know, the NF, you know, was affecting us.
Well, fuck, we are learning something here.
We are.
That's crazy.
I'm in awe. Yeah, it's just here, like, to get in first-hand perspective.
It is. You know? It makes everything a little more real. Makes it kind of... You can always read stuff, and you're like, well, how true is that? How many sources have I been through and stuff? Yeah. But actually hear it, like, yeah, this is what I went through. This is what I see.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you look at me like you want to talk about something, Dave.
I'm just kind of looking at you over there, Brandon.
Are you still pissed off?
I'm over it, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have we made up?
We've made up.
Okay. All right. We're buddies again. Can I have that mouse?
Maybe next week.
I guess our conversation has to get a little bit serious. We got to talk about Civil War a little bit.
Okay.
2014. And what I would like you to talk about, and again, I don't want to guide you with any questions because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But what I would like you to do is maybe talk about how Civil War and the whole separatist movement in Ukraine has affected maybe friends that you still have back there, family that you have there, your perspectives on it. And then I want to follow up later with, you know, here in the United... Again, I'm trying to, like, kind of relate, you know, what has happened over there to things that are starting to kind of spark up in the U.S. a little bit.
Manifest themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To see how that could possibly, like Brandon said, manifest itself into something bigger than we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get your perspective on it. So if you would just maybe just start out a little bit
and maybe
give just a little bit of background about the Civil War, then just talk about the personal connections with you have people back home still.
Yeah, so really to understand the Civil War, it's that Orange Revolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it really started from that. And the Orange Revolution was about the, Yanukovych-Yushchenko. Yanukovych won. We disagree with that, right? And we wanted, you know, to have a Yushchenko be a president, more democratic for European and so on, right?
Right.
So that's the rigged elections and all that become, right?
Mm-hmm.
They overruled it, right? So Yushchenko become a president, right? At that time, so he was there for 4 years. The new elections, right, came up. He didn't win, right? Nothing happened on that part, and Yanukovych got the presidency, right? So that's kind of how it's linked to it, right? And during all
you're
that
blaming time, all this on a bunch of victors.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Which one was the one that got poisoned?
Yushchenko.
Yeah.
He's the one that got poisoned through that election, so that's when that Orange Revolution started.
Mm-hmm.
So after Yanukovych getting his final presidency, that's kind of how it separated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously West, from Kiev to the West part, it was definitely all pro-Yushchenko,
right?
And so on, and that's who they fight for, blah, blah, blah. On the West was a little bit different because... Yeah, Yanukovych was from the west part. From the east part of Ukraine. So it's closer to Russia, right? More relationship there with Russia, more influence from Russia, right? So all that region was pro Yanukovych on that part. So that's kind of how the unrest started, right? And really what pushed it over. So they select the Yanukovych, okay, he was the president and so on. And it get closer because we were negotiating with European Union to get into the European Union, become a member of European Union. And that was part of the Yanukovych that he would promise he would do.
Right? Okay.
So pretty much everything got ready to it. And then, you know, Russia said, well, hold on a second, right? Yanukovych, you might need to reconsider, right? So what happened then? He said that they're not going to be signing that anymore. Oh. Right? So we're not integrating to European Union, and he signed another contract. He extend rent on our ports and, you know, better relationship with Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how all this become, right? And then, so that probe started in West. You know, that's how it start rifting with the Civil War, right?
Okay.
So first young students to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the most important, was for the young ones, right?
Right.
It was the college students, right? Mostly mm-hmm. that's where they got a little bit of education and, you know, opened their eyes, and they wanted to go to Europe, you know,
right.
They want to experience, they want to have access to that even better schools, mm-hmm. better technologies. I mean,
yeah.
on that part, right?
Yeah, because it's not starting out as civil unrest. It's just talking.
Exactly.
It's peaceful conversations, peaceful
Correct.
Protesting.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started, that they disagree with that, right? So that demonstration started. And, you know, Yanukovych just, you know, shut it down, right? So more people start coming. And then, obviously, the opposition that lost the
mm-hmm.
fight during the election, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They brought it back what they had. You know, they got all their supplies, what they could, and that's how it became a little bit more than just, you know, we call the Civil War, but in the end there was a lot of politics involved in that,
mm-hmm.
Huge amount, because there was a lot of resentment that, you know, the Yanukovych got the position, right? So there was a lot of supporters that didn't agree, and so on and so on. So
okay. Yeah. Because it seemed like in 2014 it went from being peaceful to violent really quickly. Like, I read a little bit about how there was an incident involving a young boy who got, like, cut
mm-hmm.
in an altercation, and he died.
Yep.
And that kind of became a spark,
yeah.
which just... And then before you know it, you know, the military's involved, and, you know, people are getting shot in the streets, and it just kind of devolved super, super fast. Is that kind of accurate?
It is very accurate, and I think, in my personal opinion, I don't know if that was the case...
Mm-hmm.
It was because of the first protest starts with the students.
Okay.
And the reason for that, because you and me, if we would have the kids, okay, this is my kid, might be walking there, and they just come and cutting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or with that kind of part, right? So that sparked even more anger and escalated, and he pushed it a little bit too hard, and that's
right.
when they become big on that part, especially when the opposition got involved, which is, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, Brandon?
How many times am I going to tell you guys not to open your bottles in front of the mic?
We're going to do whatever. Anatoly, you want to start a podcast? We're going to call it We're Not Assholes. A collaborative approach to podcasting.
You need a sound engineer?
I can figure that shit out on YouTube.
Replace.
I know. So, like, all right. So, in the U.S. today,
mm-hmm.
there are things happening that are kind of like what I like to say, raising the temperature,
yeah,
and causing different groups of people to kind of be at odds with each other. And the U.S. comes from a history like our Civil War. You know, it was two sides. It
yeah.
was, you know, it was. Northern states and southern states over a major issue, and you could draw a line in the sand, and it was very traditional in terms of a
mm-hmm.
civil war. But in the United States today, not only do I see, like, fighting between, like, you know, quote, the liberals and the conservatives, but you have, you know, groups of white supremacists,
yeah.
far-right extreme militias. You have, you know, some left-wing groups that are similarly extreme. I mean, Antifa exists. It's not as extreme and widespread as the right.
As organized.
As organized. Yeah,
yeah.
They just show up when, the dogs are barking again. Yay! Is that your dog's name, Antifa? Antifa, shut the fuck up! So it's like, and little things have been happening. I mean, there's like, you know, there's the police shooting of unarmed African-Americans. There's Charlottesville, where, you know, someone got killed. There was a shooting at a protest just two nights ago in Colorado. So it's like all these little things are happening right now. And there's these organized groups that are really starting to amp up their rhetoric. You know, gun buying in the U.S. is at all-time high, including some of these organized left-wing groups. Yeah. They're buying guns too. It's like what I read about and what you talked about with in Ukraine going from peaceful to violent in such little time, you know, are there little sparks in the U.S. right now that have you concerned in some of the same ways, or is it just so different that it's hard to...
It's really different, a little bit different, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was, you know, in U.S., yeah, you have sparks in different states and so on, right? So it's a little bit more moderate, right? Mm-hmm. And in that case, the scale was just building up in Ukraine, for instance, right? Over that 4 years of his candidacy with the corruption and stuff, so it's also influenced. In U.S., I think it just, you know, U.S., you know, always, you know, freedom of speech, right? Everybody can say whatever they want. You know, I can go and, you know, protest tomorrow for wherever, you know. I don't like something, right?
And I think there was also an outside protagonist or antagonist in Russia that we... we do have here.
A tweet antagonist.
Tweet antagonist, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you off.
You're fine.
You're talking about people shooting each other in the streets. That lighthearted.
So, you know, with U.S., it's, you know, for me to hard a little bit to compare because in such a big scare and was built up so more serious than here. Here, I feel like, you know, U.S. has a lot of rights, and you know, people always want to have more rights.
Right.
You know, you want the right to be right about everything, so to speak. on that part, but it definitely those spikes can be even more, right? It just I believe that with U.S. politics, there's no like outside power as strong or as close here to ignite that thing, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, with the little groups, with the little spikes, you know, here, it's not ignited when you actually got the leader, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a backup of X money and so on. That's when the really that rises kind of become, you know, mostly with the people, you know, in Russia, people been what for a month and a half now, protesting, right, and stuff,
right.
And nothing happening there because there is no in Russia another power to get rid of the current stuff.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
And that's why I believe in U.S. up here too,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe people trying, you know, to spike something or make some changes or whatever might be the case, but. At least that's real leader haven't emerged yet. And, you know, with the individual, you know, protests and different groups, you know, it's a little bit different.
Okay. Okay.
In my personal opinion. But it's, you know, it's definitely unrested because it's becoming progressive. And, you know, it's really matter, you know, if their needs, I guess, met by either this government or the next one or...
Mm-hmm.
And that's really going to be the turbine, but it's going to slow down or become more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's just so much unknown. It's so hard to predict. That's the problem. And it just feels like we're at a crossroads right now.
Yeah.
I feel like the Constitution, you know, is being tested more now than it has been almost since the Civil War,
know?
And it'll be interesting to see how the flexibility of it, you know, hopefully prevails.
Yeah. And that is true.
We hope so. Yeah. It is the oldest living constitution in the world, so something's got to be right with that, you know?
You would think.
Yeah. I feel like we're set up to overcome better than most places.
Yeah.
Maybe every place. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels different right now.
It definitely feels different, but I also have to agree with Anatoly when he said he got a lot of money behind it. I mean, people...
Mm-hmm.
We, for the most part, have relative comfort, and that's very hard to give up to, you know, instead of go on a revolution.
Right. It is true. It is really true, yeah.
He's like, I kind of like my house. I'm warm here. You know, I can get my food delivered and shit. And, Biden's not so bad.
Did they have DoorDash in Ukraine?
That's right.
Oh, my Lord. Ukrainian punch.
That's right. If you're not sure about life, right?
I didn't order these vodka bag cigarettes.
I think we found the name of our episode.
I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it, I find it very weird the way that Ukraine has to, it's kind of in the middle of everything, so everyone's kind of vying over it and not letting it kind of get its own feet under itself. You know, everyone's always like, well, Ukraine needs to do this. He's like, you need to join us. Russia's like,
yeah,
you need to join us. And Ukraine is just like, we just voted on independence. Like, hang on, guys. Like, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, it is true. And I mean, it's really, it's again, we in a, you know, like you mentioned earlier, right, that we kind of, they're in the center, so to speak, of the action, because that's what they call the border, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really kind of the border between, you know, Russia, you know, Ukraine's pretty big country, you know, size-wise. So it's always a struggle. It's always between the European Union, U.S., or Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if European Union gets there, and obviously the U.S. going to be welcome, you know, it's a strategy for European Union, you know, more safer, right, and so on that part. And in the same hand, Putin's like, oh, well, it's too close, right?
Right.
Like, you know, you U.S. stay there, right? You European Union, you know, you already got here. We're keeping this one, right?
Yeah, that, and that I think for Putin, it almost makes him look weak if you can't even keep the former Soviet states kind of friendly, at
right?
Least. Yeah. You know, it makes him look very weak and almost vulnerable.
That is correct. Yeah. So.
So I think it's very kind of. You're between a rock and a hard place.
It is true. It is really true. But I think at this point, people really trying to get away from Russia, right? It just, there is no support again,
right.
And there hasn't been much. You know, there have been support, but I mean, the way I see about U.S. and, you know, what we U.S. spending on the military each year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff, right? And, you know, European Union, NATO, and this and that, and, you know, technically to the support to Ukraine, it's really, you know, it didn't come up much, you know, and now with all those elections was hold down, you know, the support from U.S. to Ukraine, so, but that's the thing, you know, Russia fueling all the West,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, all the East, right, part of the Ukraine, and West begging a little bit from U.S., a little bit from Europe,
mm-hmm.
you know, and see if something, you know, work out from that, and either U.S. and Europe, they're really playing that kind of, okay, I'll help you, but not.
Yeah.
So, you know, I piss you, Putin, but then I back up. You know?
Right, yeah. And now it's more unpredictable than ever,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely unpredictable now,
so,
you know?
Yeah,
so hopefully a change in our administration will bring some stability to that flow of change,
that's
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure it's hard for the West Ukraine to really be like, hey, we want to be with you, but shit, where's the help? You know, how can we trust
right.
you? Like,
that's right.
Our own embassies don't know what's going on with our foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how can we help anybody else westernize and modernize and democratize when we can't even do it ourselves right now? Ridiculous. I can't even believe we're having this conversation
yeah.
about such a dereliction of duty in the executive branch
yeah.
in foreign policy.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how much the world takes notice of things like that.
Right.
I mean, it you want to be strong around the world, then you need to have some respect in it.
That is
yeah.
true.
And that there's no respect. They he's a laughingstock. It's
mm-hmm.
it's embarrassing. And he was trying to tout that Obama bowed and curtsied to other nations.
Yeah,
like, right. No, it's just trying to work things out,
yeah.
trying to
yeah.
build those.
It's a symbolic gesture. Yeah.
And those things get noticed.
But and the thing is also, it's really good to maintain, you know, the
mm-hmm.
country that you are, progressive and forehead. You know, like you said, it's not about the fear, imposing the fear, but help. And,
yes,
and you're getting some benefits from that. You
yep.
know, I mean, you know, that's why how you grow. That's with the relationship, because I believe, you know, if the more door you shut down, no one survived just shutting down the doors. Really, you know, it's It's just how it is. You have to have a relationship. And
I wish I could make you a citizen right now, on the spot, in exchange for about a million people who don't get it, who were born here.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Antonio. It's about the relationships, the bridges you build. Mm-hmm. And they may not pay off right now, but
correct.
You know, you may have an incident later on, and be like, "Oh no, Dave didn't do that." Let me call him up, be like, "Hey, what the fuck? Your fucking bomber just took out like a hotel, dude. Like, what the hell?" Like, no, sorry, I had the map upside down. Oh, no. But you don't have those relationships. It's just fucking Dave bombed my hotel. I'm gonna fuck him up. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, yeah. I think America's very insulated with its understanding of the rest of the world.
True.
And that's why I'm kind of glad that you came here. We could actually have a conversation with someone who has a different perspective.
Yeah.
Let alone just us jibber-jabbering about Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell.
Oh, that'll be back next week. Always plug in the next week.
So is there anything you wanted to bring up, Anatoly? Anything you wanted to maybe explain to... Leo's really excited.
Antifa, what did I say?
Is there anything like you were like, I don't think people get this about Ukraine. Is there anything that you...
Yeah, in the... You know,
it's still ready.
Antifa's everybody still think ready that go. We divided so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really... I think that's the misconception that... everybody see about the East and West, right? It's like with the we talk a lot about the language, right? Russian and Ukrainian, how that work out, and that how the Putin took the Crimea because we're not allowed to speak Russian and you know, wherever. And so that's kind of the thing. But we have a lot of, you know, the same Russian, not Russian, you know, Ukraine, not Ukraine. It's a lot of in common, and the most part of it is just to really, you know, to get better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with Russia, you know, U.S. or Europe, we tried Russia for a long time, right? And that's really might be the case,
mm-hmm.
right? And we just wanted to go to Europe. Do we know it's you know, everything should be better, right? But, you know, or we just get to Russia, it's going to get better. But, you know, that's kind of what people don't understand. But, yeah, a lot of people want to go to Europe, and that's what the... That dividedness, it's really not there.
Okay.
Know? Because with that dividedness that we talk about two regions, right?
Right.
That borders Russia, and that's what the, you know, it's such a small fraction from what us Ukrainians, like 46, maybe 45 millions now,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a small fraction what we're talking about, but that's what the, you know, the Russia want to emphasize, right? Hey, this is the whole community, this is the whole who knows what, like
mm-hmm.
half of Ukraine there. Well, that's not the case.
Right.
So it's to talk about, you know, I think that people understand that, yeah, we there, you just not people in the, not in the people's control. And that's how the revolution started and stuff, it's all the politics. Something else to add? I don't know, it's, I think people don't get the propaganda.
Gotcha.
You know how deep propaganda is.
Right. Okay.
And the reason for that, I have a great example. So when I was in U.S., right, when I left the U.S. for a while, I went to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So part of my work was to go to Russia in a business in some different countries. And I have a sister, my father's brother,
mm-hmm.
daughter, cousin. Grew up together, same village, very tight family. She moved to Russia with her husband. Her husband was from Russia, so she moved to Russia. And I haven't seen her, not to lie, about 15 years.
Oh my,
yeah.
Wow.
15
Since
years.
You were a teenager.
That's right, haven't seen her, right? And she's been living there for so long. So we haven't talked for ages. Anyways, I was going to Moscow, so I'm like, hey, got in touch. I'm like, hey, and she was happy about it too, right? So we met in Moscow.
Really?
Yep, we met in Moscow on my trips, and that was when that 2014 started.
Yeah, okay.
That's when all this protests, all mm-hmm. this Banderovitz and so on, right? That's how they begin. So my own sister that I grew up with, you know, cousin.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you guys doing there? You guys are just crazy. I'm like, Sveta, are you freaking serious?
Yeah.
Like, you fucking know us. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're family, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's, you know, there's nothing going on like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the Putin's gonna do it good for you and you guys are just going this and that. Like, I don't understand. That's why I don't want to even go and visit you guys. I'm like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So, how deep the propaganda has,
right,
in the people who just don't understand about the scale. Like,
we think absolutely.
We're thinking we have here media propaganda and this. Here you can still find some sources. Mm-hmm. No one denying you page that you cannot enter, right? Mm-hmm. So it's quite a bit different. It's everything.
Every aspect of life is.
And when I, you know, we still had great conversation, everything, but I left just speechless.
Like, wow.
I left speechless.
Every aspect of their life is fed with propaganda.
Yep.
Wow.
And her mom and father are still there, sisters, everyone.
Yeah.
And she's blaming pretty much them that they're just insane, that something changed, and how that can be that we trying to raise the hell and destroy everything.
Wow.
It's like a 24-hour Facebook.
Yeah.
It is a 20, definitely.
So that's, I think, that's kind of the biggest one, the propaganda, what people don't get. It just...
And you're talking about insane. QAnon, right?
That's right. Yeah, so it's amazing. Yeah.
That is eye-opening.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it really is. I never even...
Propaganda's powerful.
It is.
I mean, you know, it's in play everywhere, but that's an extreme example for sure.
$1 billion industry.
Yeah, it is.
It's just commercials.
Right, yeah.
And that's what it is.
No, I mean, it's just insane. So.
Joe Biden ate alive, baby.
That's right.
Which is why we need Amy Coney Barrett. Because she won't let us eat babies anymore.
Damn it.
Damn it,
Amy. We're all fun.
Oh, man. There goes my anti-baby agenda. Oh. Did I just make a stupid leap? A stupid leap into nonsense.
Yeah.
I took off my Facebook page actually where I teach. Like, I can't trace this shit back to my job.
Not that I keep my name or anything.
I should go to school on Wednesday and be like, kids, today we're going to learn about the Ukraine. Just hit play.
You should. That'd be amazing. Why do you hate babies? Teacher Day.
Why is that man yelling at you? Is he your friend?
He yells at you like you yell at us.
Right, exactly. Now you know how it feels, asshole.
Well, I kind of exhausted my questions. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, no, I think I have too. I mean, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Anatoly, for coming on.
I hope it was helpful a little bit, you know, and on that part. But yeah, so I appreciate you guys having me, and know that you're actually interested in that stuff. You know, it's pretty cool.
Well, the pleasure's all ours. I mean, that was fun.
Yeah, but I counted 3 times you didn't speak into your mic. Twice you opened your soda. You even bumped your mic. A couple times.
What I have to say is, good job.
Plans from a little bit unstable here.
Hey, don't blame the equipment.
If we don't do things like that, the sound engineer is not going to have work to do.
Right.
I mean, God.
Well, I think definitely you should come back sometime. There's plenty of stuff going on along in the world that'd be great to have an international perspective.
Absolutely,
we don't get that enough. Yeah. So,
can we declare Anatoly as our international correspondent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, if you guys have any questions for Anatoly, you can email us at FDRswheelchairpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can DM us on Twitter at FDR_wheelchair. And Dave, What's the other one?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't listening. You said...
Jesus Christ.
You said Twitter. You said Facebook.
No, I didn't say Facebook.
Oh, the Facebook page.
You are like one of your kids. I feel like the
FDR's wheelchair on the Facebook.
Yeah, so if you have any questions, we'll give them to Anatoly, and then we'll have him back on. He'll be our international correspondent. He can answer those questions for you.
Absolutely. So what's next week going to look like, Brandon? Are we going to get back into election season?
I think we'll have to. I mean, it'll be 2 weeks away by then.
Oh, my.
So,
ooh, it's getting crazy.
We missed the vice presidential debate.
Flygate 2020. Flygate.
Right. And Bloodshot Icegate.
Right, my God. This is awesome. It's like,
damn. But yeah, I think we'll get more on the presidential election. We'll see where the polls stand. We'll even probably dig a little into the state to see where the Senate seats are sitting and Congress seats.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think the Republicans are kind of have their back against the wall in a lot of places, especially the swing states, going all the way down the ballot. So,
I hope Lindsey Graham doesn't lose. I'll miss that voice.
I know. It's so warm and cozy.
Couldn't get through an episode without hearing you do
it's
that.
It's like sweet iced tea in a hot summer afternoon. My wife's going to kill me.
Sweetie.
So I think we're all wrapped up for this episode. And thank you again, Anatoly. Well, you've been promoted. You're the first guest, so you did something historical, and you got promoted on your first day.
Absolutely.
That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty awesome. I appreciate it, guys, and thank you for considering that all. So I did enjoy it, and looking forward to hear for your next podcast myself.
He didn't actually accept. He's like, oh, that was great.
Yeah, sure. Good luck on your search for an international correspondent. I'm going to go back home next door.
Alright, well, I think we're finally finished.
We are finally finished. We'll see you guys next week.
Alright, bye.
Bye.
Bye, thank you.